Roger dragged his cart into the rotunda that surrounded the Idavaro pit and stopped it in front of the locked gate that provided access to the various enclosures that surrounded the pit. As he fumbled through his keys, trying to remember which one fit the gate, he suddenly froze and looked over his shoulder. He had heard a voice, a female voice, and a familiar one, too. Roger looked around the rotunda. It was almost completely empty except for a few lone individuals staring at the captive aliens and a small group of people on the opposite side of the Idavaro pit. They were all wearing Starcon uniforms, and one of them had long, dark, wavy hair tied back in a tight ponytail. Roger gaped. It was Stellar. Stellar Santiago. Even though it had been years since she had seen her, he had never forgotten her voice, her face, and how much of a friend she had been to him in the past. She had done so much for him, and despite Roger eventually marrying Beatrice, Stellar had remained his friend. She was the one Roger would turn to whenever he had a problem with Beatrice or Junior, and it seemed like there was nothing she couldn't help Roger with, to at least some degree. Help. Right now, that was what Roger needed more than anything else. He and Beatrice were far, far away from Xenon, both spatially and chronologically. Even if Stellar couldn't help them out of this mess, she could at least be there to offer Roger some words of encouragement. But now she and the rest of what had to be her crewmates were walking away toward the rotunda's south exit, the one that led to the sanctuary's main gates. Roger left the cart behind and took off in Stellar's direction, walking as fast as he dared around the periphery of the pit. Stellar was almost out of sight behind a cluster of vegetation now. As Roger was drawing a breath to shout out her name, he suddenly felt incredibly disoriented, as if the planet's rotation had suddenly reversed. He staggered dizzily for a minute, unable to think clearly. His vision began to darken, and the last thing he felt was the sensation of rushing air and the strong tug of gravity. When Roger regained consciousness, he had a feeling that something very bad had either just happened or was about to happen. Lifting his head to examine the surroundings, he found himself lying on a hard, gritty surface surrounded by simulated rock walls on all sides. Several fake boulders and plants decorated the ground, and among the boulders and plants were several enormous, grub-like creatures with large, bony jaws and thin, transparent scales lining their backs. With as little movement as possible, Roger craned his neck until he could see the top of the walls and the fence that surrounded them. There was a crowd of beings up there staring down at him. Unfortunately, Stellar didn't seem to be among them. With a shaking hand, Roger slowly reached into his pocket, pulled out his two-way communicator, and keyed in Gesma's number.
Sir, Roger said into the communicator, I accidentally fell into the Idavaro pit.
There was a tense silence for a few seconds, followed by an annoyed sigh from the other end.
Hang on, Freem,
Gesma muttered.
I'll get someone to get you out of there. Just sit tight and don't make any sudden moves.
Roger glanced at the Idavaros. Even though they had no eyes, ears, or noses, Roger had the unpleasant sensation that they knew he was in the pit with them. Again, he spoke into the communicator.
These Idavaros aren't dangerous, are they?
There was another pause.
Well, that depends. Does your species have any sort of protective armor?
No.
How good are you at concealing yourself and blending in with your surroundings?
Not very good.
Is your body any good at quickly repairing severed blood vessels?
I don't think so.
Yet another pause.
In that case, I'd say the Idavaros definitely will be dangerous.
As Roger waited for the help Gesma had promised, he tried to take stock of his situation. The rock walls were too steep to climb. The only way out of the enclosure from this level was a securely locked gate, and his only possessions were the communicator and the plush Orat. He examined the large, heavy-jawed Idavaro. Could they really tell he was there? Slowly, Roger began edging toward the nearest fake boulder. As he did, one of his boots slipped, making a noticeable scraping noise. The Idavaro nearest to him suddenly turned its large head, and the whisker-like protrusions sprouting from its cheeks seemed to swivel in Roger's direction. Roger hurried behind the boulder as swiftly and silently as he was able, then crouched there, heart pounding. Those things could tell he was there,
and judging by the way that one Idovaro reacted, if Roger made any more noise, they would all start coming for him. As Roger was trying desperately to figure out how he could escape if help failed to arrive, help actually did arrive in the form of a panicked, shaking Kredge. He pushed his way through the crowd of onlookers and stood looking over the fence, a coil of rope clutched in his hands. "Buxton!" he hollered, hurriedly, starting to lower the rope over the fence towards Roger. "Don't worry, Buxton! I'll get you out of—" Before he could finish his sentence, the end of the rope slipped from his trembling hands and dropped into the pit. For a moment the crowd stood in stunned silence. Then a few of them began chuckling and whispered to each other. Kredge glanced nervously around, then dashed off. Despite his initial anger and panic, the rope that had landed near Roger's feet suddenly gave him an idea. He glanced over at one of the pit's adjacent walls. About 20 feet above the ground, a large fake vine was stretched loosely between two points on the wall, with a sizable gap between the wall and itself, and most of the Idovaros seemed closer to that vine than they were to Roger. Roger took another look at the rope, then at the plush Aurette. Suddenly, he knew exactly what he had to do.